Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. You know, I've been interviewing Frank Media. After we were done with our podcast, he and I were just visiting because we're talking by telephone. And I said, we've got to say this with the recording going. And he's just sharing some insights. I believe that he's anointed. And so stay tuned with what we were talking about.
Hi, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. And I want to speak to you on behalf of Evangel Christian Churches. And if you've ever had a desire to be trained, equipped, and credentialed as a chaplain, you may really want to listen to this message. It's probably now would be a great time to fulfill the call of God on your life. We're still early in the year. You can accomplish so much still in this year of 2016. Becoming a licensed minister will enable you to reach out to jail ministries, hospitals, nursing homes. Maybe you want to do street evangelism or teaching, traveling, going to across the world to minister. Women's Aglow would be good. Maybe even at anti-abortion facilities, counseling, traveling, whatever it is that you've got in your heart, there's no better place to be trained and equipped than Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. Let me say that again, the Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. They're going to offer you the opportunity to be trained and credentialed as a chaplain. It's always good to have official credentials. They have correspondence classes and extremely affordable tuition. They're licensed throughout the state of Michigan and fully accredited. You can call them now. They actually prefer you to call them. Their number is 586-773-6568. And one more time, 586-773-6568. The good thing about a podcast is you can back this up, listen to the phone number again. Their website is evangelchristianchurches.com. Check them out there. Or just call that number one more time, 586-773-6568 for the Chaplaincy Training Program. Get credentialed today. God bless you.
Okay, Frank, let's just pick up. We were just talking as friends, and it's stuff that I think needs to get out there. But some of the things you were talking about with Mr. Trump, you know, the last thing you were saying was it wasn't what he said or hasn't said and so on and so forth. So to kind of pick up, I just want to share it with my listeners.
Well, I think it's very clear to us that where this thing went sideways was with character assassination. Everybody, especially even in the body of Christ and people that aren't walking as believers, trying to sort out in their mind some tape that came up from 11 years ago. We know all the thing about locker room talk, but really it got us off the mark. All of that is inconsequential. And really where it stands is on the platforms. But we know right now that only God could have put this in the position that it's in. First of all, when the Lord first said way back a year ago, June, and told me this man was going to win, that was against all odds. I think, Steve, at that point, the odds makers had him at less than 1% to win it. And every time he kept going forward, he would make a mistake. He would make a stumble. It would be something that would politically destroy any other candidate. And this guy just kept going forward. And here we sit only a week ago, and they were already celebrating and popping the corks and talking about their transition team on the Democratic side. And still he kept coming. And now we sit today with a turn of events that could possibly begin to turn this thing a completely different way. And I believe it is, but it's only the beginning. Such that everybody here, you would have to be blind and not willing to listen to reason, even the logic of the supernatural of God, to say this isn't God. Only God can continue to keep something moving like this when all the odds are against it. And so I believe as we see this come to its conclusion, it's a tremendous testimony of the Spirit of God.
Well, I agree with you, and I'll just admit that I was never a fan of Donald Trump, you know, like when he was on The Apprentice and stuff like that, and I just wasn't. I can remember being in New York one time and being outside Trump Tower and looking at it and thinking, I don't even want to bother to go in there. And why the Lord would raise him up when there were strong Christians like Mike Huckabee and Ted Cruz and even Governor Jandel from Louisiana, and, you know, there were several others, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, I believe, is a very sincere Christian. And, you know, I don't want to judge people's Christianity, but if, you know, I hate to almost say this, but if I were God, I would have picked one of those people, but obviously I'm not God. And I don't, help me understand spiritually why all this is happening.
Well, first of all, let's understand that God molded this man from before he was in the womb. And when I first prophesied that he was going to win this nomination, and there was 17 other candidates back a year ago, June, I released that he had a breaker anointing. And I didn't fully understand what I was saying, but that's what the Lord said he had. He raised this man to be, as another man would say, which was Rick Joyner, he said he's a street fighter. And then Lance Wolnow said that he's a disruptor. We all got the same thing, but of course I was one of the first ones on board because I heard it from the Lord, better to be obedient than smart. And like you, I didn't know him at all. But I have to tell you, Steve, when I met the man face to face, you saw the spirit of a father in him. I could see him presidential already. Now, what am I talking about, the spirit of a father? One who's able to father a country is what I saw. And to be honest with you, you know, I've grown up in the development field. We come from the world also. We understand what's in the world. And yes, we don't like to hear rough language and we don't like to hear the tough stories, but let's not be naive. We don't think that goes on behind the doors in the Oval Office right now where there's not cursing and cussing. We've heard too many stories from too many people. The bottom line is we're not trying to assess a character. We're trying to assess what God is. And this particular election, the Lord made it very simple for us. If we're looking at the character of either of the candidates by what we see visibly, then it's very hard to come to any assumptions. But when we look at it, what the platforms are and where God is and where the body of Christ is served, it's very clear. There's absolutely no question. And let's go another point. Who else really stood up for Israel more so than this man? He's the only one who stood out and said, I'm going to move the capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He came to the point and said, I believe in an undivided Jerusalem. Those were key issues in this man's walk. He changed his heart some years back. He became pro-life. And how about him in the third debate saying, I don't even want to hear about partial birth abortion, ripping babies out of the womb and destroying them. He made it so clear, like no other candidate has done, and dramatic. And yes, he doesn't probably study his Bible, but my God, the anointing of God is moving on this man. And finally, Steve, you've been at this a long time. When have you seen a candidate surrounded by so many people of faith in your life? And he's humble. He puts his head down. He receives prayer. He's reverent before God, and he's listening to people of God. And he made us a promise face to face, many of us, Stephen, that he would make sure that the doors to the White House were left open to the people of God. He wants the strength, the support, and the wisdom of the people of God.
That's incredible. And of course, that's something that doesn't come through the news media. In fact, there are some in our culture, you know, everybody kind of watches the same media that I do. They make it sound like if Donald Trump is elected, it's the worst thing that could possibly happen to this republic. But I think just the opposite. I can see God's hand on him. I have personally observed what you just said. And in the natural, I would have never suspected this. I've been very, very pleasantly surprised with what I've seen and his openness. And I think that's even more reason why we need to get him elected. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that a certain segment of the evangelical community is not supporting him or saying they're going to vote for a third party or they're going to stay home. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's foolishness. And again, it's getting blindsided. I certainly don't want to be one, and I know this sounds very judgmental, and there's people that say it's harsh, but I don't want to be one who has to stand before the Lord and give an account of myself and say, you know what, I didn't pull that switch when I should have because I realized that this was the platform that was pro-life and anti-abortion. I realized this was the platform that was saying that they were going to defend our opportunity and our right to worship, that this was the platform that said boys should not be allowed into girls' restrooms, that this was the platform that stood for Israel. And I wouldn't want to be the one that has to say to the Lord, you know what, Lord, I didn't pull that because I didn't like the way he spoke, or I didn't like what I heard, or I thought that somebody needed to be more of a gentleman, or I just thought we needed to break the gender gap. I think it's foolishness. We have to look at the platforms. And when you look at the platforms, get past the individuals. Look at the Republican platform this year versus the Democratic platform, and then tell me where your Christian faith stands. How could you vote any differently?
Well, I think that there is a lot of compromise in the church. I think there's a lot of so-called liberal evangelicals who, you know, have been raised as Bible-believing Christians, and they would accept Christ as Savior, but they don't live, or their values are not much different than the world. And I think that we're seeing it come to light now. You know, they want to get along with the wider culture. Some of them say they want to get along so that they can reach these people. They want to be liked so they can somehow influence them for Christ. And while, you know, that may be necessary on an individual basis sometimes, you can't not stand for righteousness because you think maybe you'll offend somebody or maybe you won't be able to share Christ with them. The issues here are almost life and death in terms of our religious freedoms and in terms of the kind of America that we've grown up in terms of being able to practice our faith and not be coerced by the government.
I agree with you. And you made a point, and this really struck home. You said it's life and it's death. And that's really what it's about. We're talking about the life and death of over 60, almost 60 million unborn children. They never had a choice to life. They haven't had a voice. But you know what, Steve? The Lord says that the voice of the righteous blood is crying out to him. Could you imagine the deafening sound in the ears of God Almighty as 60 million unborn children are crying out to him for justice and righteousness? And the Lord hears the cries of those who haven't yet been aborted because he's eternal. And the Lord's saying, it's enough, no more. And I agree with you, the apostate church is alive and well, and there's people that are blind. We need to be a voice that says no more. And again, it starts with accountability with pastors and leaders. We need to stand up and speak the truth, no matter what the consequence is. And finally, this, you know, it is, yes, we want to be able to get out the message of the gospel and to save people, but if what we are saving them in is into the same muck that they're coming out of, what good is it? And have they really been redeemed? And are they really going to be kept? Are they really going to be sanctified? Is that true salvation? What is that?
You're absolutely right. And I just thank you for kind of continuing. It's kind of like the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey used to say, and I just thought that it would be good to record this. I knew people would be interested in it. I know that interest in the election right now is white hot, and you know, thankfully we can give you a platform where some other news media don't even know how interesting you are. So thank you for the scoop, and in a way, I'm saying that a little tongue-in-cheek, but thank you for speaking out, and thank you for being my friend.
Thank you, my brother. I love you, and God bless you.
God bless you, and thank you for listening once again to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.